It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Taylor Swift, not the only problem, not the only reason why the NFL kisses the behinds of the Kansas City Chiefs, but I do think that's part of it. All right, we've got our phone lines open, 946-0435. The Buffalo Bills got jobbed yesterday on two gigantic plays in the game. We spent the show Friday talking about whether or not there's a conspiracy theory in the NFL geared toward helping the Kansas City Chiefs, helping Taylor Swift's boyfriend, helping Taylor Swift's Swifty 15-year-old fans all over the world so that they will watch the NFL. You're kidding yourself if you don't think there's some level of, you know, conspiracy is a strong word. Conspiracy basically implies that people are getting together in a room and discussing things and coming up with a plan. You know, maybe it's not as simple as that. Maybe it's just simply that there's been a wink and a nod at these referees. Maybe it's just that these referees, you know, it's kind of an understood policy. On a close play, you give the Chiefs the call. So if you watched the games yesterday, we will discuss them at length today. Eagles looked fantastic. I think the Eagles are going to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, but they'll have to beat the refs as well, just like the Buffalo Bills would have to beat the refs, and they could not do it. I'm not even salty. I didn't have money on the game. I'm not a Bills fan. I couldn't give a rip. I'm just telling you what I see and how it happens every freaking game, that there is some massive play, some gigantic play that goes the Chiefs' way. Passed down the right sideline yesterday. Looked like it was going to be intercepted. Ball hits the ground. Looked like every possible TV angle showed that the ball hit the ground. They give the Chiefs a long reception. They score a touchdown. Gigantic play in the game. Fourth and one. Josh Allen tries to go over the top. It looks like on the TV angle, he got the first down. I want to say they were at the 48, 45-yard line, give or take, of the Chiefs. Looks like he got the first down. It's ruled that the Chiefs stopped him. Chiefs then go on and score a gigantic touchdown that gave them a two-score lead. Now, look. Again, I'm not a Bills fan. I'm not salty for the Bills. Their dude had a chance at the end of the game and dropped the damn ball. All right? On the final play. And I'm not sure how many of you truly saw this, to be honest with you, because the TV replay was atrocious, man. Just absolutely atrocious. So they're calling the game. Jim Nantz, Tony Romo's on the game. And it's fourth down. And the Chiefs send the house. And, you know, Tony Romo's talking about how, you know, they're going to be aggressive with the game on the line, that kind of thing. Josh Allen's rolling to his right. He's forced to kind of heave one back, and it's incomplete. Chiefs take over, win the game. Well, Did we get to see a replay? Did we ever get to see a replay on the broadcast of how close it was that the dude should have caught the ball? Did any of you ever get to see a replay? You can find these on social media. You can find zoomed in shots on social media. The guy was going to his left. Ball was a little behind him. He had to turn around and then kind of dive forward. Got both arms on the ball. Catch there, first down. Bills are still in great position, great shape to either try to kick a tying field goal or even had some time left to maybe score a touchdown to win the game. But he dropped the ball. And I think the TV crew dropped the ball. We didn't get to see any kind of replay. Maybe they showed it minutes later, but, you know, once the Chiefs ran, I didn't see a replay on TV. Like an immediate replay. This is the AFC Championship game. And we got to see the Mark Andrews play from the Ravens last week when he dropped the 2-point conversion. We've seen that a billion times. Did we even get to see the replay one time? One friggin' time. Was it McCracken or I can't remember the guy's name. Again, I don't care. I didn't lose money. I'm not part of the Bills Mafia. I'm just telling you that when you see week after week after week one team get the benefit of the doubt on an absolutely crucial call, how do you not sit there and think to yourself, what is going on here? Hey, we got Nebraska man. What's up, buddy? How you doing, pal?
Hi, Corey. How are you?
All right, bud.
Boy, I'll tell you what. That Bills game. Did you see when they scored a touchdown? They had two linemen in the end zone.
Yeah.
Two ineligible linemen downfield in the end zone.
Yeah.
And they never even called him for that.
Look, I do want to give the Chiefs a lot of credit. The Chiefs have a terrific team. They're going for their third consecutive Super Bowl. This would be Patrick Mahomes' fourth Super Bowl. You know, they are fantastic. Andy Reid is fantastic. This is one of the great dynasties we've seen in a couple of generations. Not quite the Patriots yet, but, you know, it's getting closer. So I don't want to take much. I'm going to take some away from the Chiefs. I don't want to take too much because, again, they're winning these games. They find ways to make plays when the game is on the line. It's just impossible to believe they would get every single call.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was plain as day. Don't get me wrong. Kansas City did play a good game.
Mm-hmm.
They made the plays when they had to make the plays. Mahomes, you know, he ran three or four times for first downs. But when they keep showing that two or three times that Kansas City's linemen downfield are standing in the end zone, which is illegal as heck, why would they have thrown the flag and said ineligible lineman downfield? They went ahead and called the touchdown and made a stand, and never the referees never even viewed the call at all to see if they even, you know, if they were downfield in the end zone when it was plain as day that they were.
All right, I'm getting a text here. You must have had your eyes closed, but they showed replay. They didn't show the replay. I promise you, they didn't show the replay that I'm talking about. They showed the replay of Josh Allen scrambling out and throwing the ball and heaving up. Never did you get to see, not within a couple minutes, you did not get to see the receiver. I'm talking about the receiver, a zoomed-in, up-close shot on the receiver. You can find this on social media. I'm telling you, they did not show that replay. I promise you. At least not for the first 4 or 5 minutes. Maybe they showed it later, and they showed replays of the play, but they didn't show. I'm telling you, the guy that texted me, a good friend of mine, they go find a replay of a zoom. It's completely zoomed in. The dude should have caught the ball. The reason Tony Romo and Jim Nance are going on and on about, you know, the blitz and all this stuff, they weren't going on and on about how the dude should have caught the ball, because he should have caught the ball. All right, so I'm just telling you that there was no replay of that play that close shown on TV. All right, go ahead. Sorry, Nebraska man.
That's okay. But the Eagles, I'll tell you what, the Eagles shut down McDaniels yesterday. Their offense looked extremely good. Their defense played phenomenal yesterday. And I have to agree with you. I just don't think Kansas City has the manpower to go up against them in the Super Bowl. And I'm like you. I like the Eagles. I just think they have too much for Kansas City.
Yeah.
Thanks for my call, Corey.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, Nebraska, man. Look, Kansas City's a great team. Eagles have a great team. This looks like a fantastic matchup in the Super Bowl. The entire country is going to be pulling for Travis Kelce. The entire country is kind of sick and tired of the Chiefs getting all these beneficial calls. We got David in Altoona. What's up, David? How you doing?
Hey, Corey. I watched the I didn't. To be honest with you, I didn't watch the game yesterday because I knew what was going to happen. It's happened all year with Kansas City, and I wasn't about to get myself exercised over something that was going to happen anyway. They treat it is so obvious. They don't even hide it. They treat Mahomes like they used to treat Brady.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And you know what? I'll be honest with you. I was a Patriots fan during those Brady years. But I could be honest with myself and anybody. They did get the benefit of the doubt of calls. There's no question. You couldn't breathe on Tom Brady without. But, you know, again, perspective is everything. I know the Patriots did get some calls. But we have so many replays. We have so much social media now. I mean, I think the country is just truly getting sick of this.
Well, the problem is, and you hear these, and not you, but your brethren in the national media, oh, you should just enjoy this and be happy to see it. It's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. You got guys like Michael Kay in New York. Sure, Mahomes gets calls, but he's earned that. No, the rule book's supposed to be the same for everybody. It's not supposed to be. It's not. Everybody knows it's not. They talk about Michael Jordan getting calls, and they just kind of alibi it that way. Like, we should just accept the fact that Mahomes is going to get calls, and that's the way it is.
Yeah, no question. Hey, about that. Look, we haven't talked about the Eagles yet. The Eagles looked tremendous. Jalen Hurts, 3 rushing touchdowns. Saquon, 3 rushing touchdowns. Saquon's having the greatest season by a running back ever. We need to acknowledge that. If it ends with a Super Bowl championship, this season for Saquon Barkley will be, it's already historic, but just truly unbelievable. And the Eagles have been there. I went into the game yesterday with the Commanders and thought, all right, the Commanders are a good young, it's a good story, good young quarterback, awesome young quarterback. But this is their first time there. They're going to be starstruck a little bit. They're not going to quite be ready for the moment. And sure enough, they weren't. The Eagles took them to. Now we've got two teams. They met in the Super Bowl just a couple years ago. The Eagles, this is their third Super Bowl since 2017. So both of these franchises are used to being here.
Yeah. Hopefully we just get a good game and it's not decided by referees.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right. These guys. You know, and why do people why can't people who don't like what they see complain to these national media types? Just they're all about the players, and Kansas City's great, so whatever they do is just wonderful. And you know, half the country's going to get tired of it, and they do.
Yeah, that's true. I completely agree with you. 946-0435. I said a moment ago. This will be the Eagles' third Super Bowl appearance since the 2017 season. In that time, the Pittsburgh Steelers have a grand total of 0 playoff victories. For a long, long time, throughout the history of the NFL, Pittsburgh Steelers have been the gold standard, the black and gold standard, if you will. Eagles have still only won one Super Bowl.
Gagger, Steelers have 6 Super Bowls. Eagles have only won one.
Which franchise would you rather be right now? Which franchise would you rather be right now? And if you even have to give a nanosecond thought to this question, you're crazy. The Philadelphia Eagles are so light years ahead of the Steelers as a total organization right now. It's comical, really. It's truly maddening. This is Steelers country. I know we have some Eagles fans here. But when I tell you that the Steelers have zero playoff victories since the 2016 season, and the Eagles are playing in their third Super Bowl in that time span, I talked a lot last week about how there's not a rivalry between the Steelers and the Eagles. You know, people here, I think, root for the Eagles. I don't know if Philadelphia fans root for the Steelers. I don't know. I don't have a barometer on that kind of thing. But I think people here root for the Eagles anyway. I think people here also are completely aware that the Eagles are so far ahead of the Steelers right now that it's funny. Andy, what's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I'm
picking Kansas City 36-30. It should be a good game. Saquon Barkley's gonna fumble, and Mahomes is gonna take him down the field and win the game. It's gonna be a 30-30 tie before Mahomes goes on a game-winning drive to win the Super Bowl at the very last minute.
That's a lot of points. That would be fun. I'm all for a Super Bowl where both teams get in the 30s. I'll tell you, that would be entertaining.
Corey, here's the thing, okay? Saquon Barkley, I admire what the man does, okay? But he should have gotten his degree while he was here the first time at Penn State, rather than pay for it out of his own pocket. He could have gotten his degree on Penn State's dime, and he didn't do it.
Okay.
He should be ashamed of himself. Because Michael Robinson got 2 degrees while he was here. 2.
All right.
But I am
did
a
go
education
back.
Professional, so I'm going to talk education all day.
He did go back and get his degree in 2022. He left after 3 years of college. If you want to bash a guy for going back and getting his degree on his own, I let me just simply say I could not disagree with you more. I mean,
I don't disagree with you, Corey, but my point is that he could have got his degree on somebody else's dime, and he decided not to do it.
All right. Okay. Everybody's got it. You know what they say? Everybody's got one of those things that on your backside. Well, everybody's got an opinion also. Jay, what's going on? How you doing, man?
All right. It's Jai.
Jai, what's happening with you, buddy? Where are you calling from?
Saxton.
All right. How you doing, Jai?
Not too bad. I didn't watch much of the game just for the same reason that anybody else didn't watch it. But in the first half, there was a fumble, and it just felt like everything was in slow motion.
Uh-huh.
Was there a flag on the field prior to them rolling who got the ball?
Oh, you got me
you
on
that
one. I don't remember that. I don't remember that play specifically, so you got me on that one. So, but you say it felt like it was in slow motion.
Yeah, well, I didn't see a flag anywhere, and they didn't say anything about a flag. But, you know, the narrative said, wait, we got to figure something out here.
Right. Well,
and then they found an offsides, and then radio it down in, and then, we can call offsides.
Do you fall into the conspiracy theory realm? Do you think
all right. I mean, Ohio State had a year where they beat everybody by like 3 points. What was it against Miami? They ended up winning a national championship that year.
Uh huh.
And luck can happen. You know, they got it all year long. But it's just, no. There's no way. And some of that stuff is, I mean, the Chiefs beat them. Cincinnati could have beat them, should have beat them.
What's your pick,
Denver,
then?
I don't know what happened there. That just seems like an anomaly.
What's your pick here for the Super Bowl then, Jai?
Well, the Chiefs already won.
Taylor Swift already got her Super Bowl ring getting sized up.
Yes, she did.
That's great. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call, man. 946-0435. I'm going to take a break here. The next call wants to talk about the huge news yesterday with regards to Penn State. I was going to get to it here. It's pretty wild, really. I got to take a break, and we'll get to it after this.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy, or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Howdy, the old farmer here. You know, from the almanac. You know this wonderful snowy winter we're having that I predicted? Well, it's going to bring a plentiful growing season for farmers like me and for lawn and gardens like yours. Many don't understand what winter can do for growth, but the McCoy family at McCoy's Lawn and Garden in Roaring Spring does. Just go to McCoy'sLawnAndGarden.com and check out their full selection of the Kubota BX Series tractors and lawn equipment. Kubota is the only real choice for mowing, spreading, plowing, digging, planting, whatever you need, the Kubota BX Series can handle. The Kubota BX Series is the brand that you know and trust, with easier operation, superior comfort, and a new, simpler system for attaching and detaching Kubota implements, so you can switch jobs like a pro. This spring, count on the McCoy family for the Kubota BX Series that you need. Stop at McCoy's Lawn and Garden today to pick up your new Kubota. Route 36 in Roaring Spring. McCoy's Lawn and Garden, helping sow the seeds for tomorrow. Hank FM.
Hi, welcome back. 946-0435. Anything you want to discuss? We have not mentioned yet the incredible news, really, from yesterday. Penn State has hired Jim Knowles as the new defensive coordinator. They're going to pay him a reported $3.1 million a year, which is just staggering money for an assistant coach. I believe he's the third highest paid defensive coordinator in all of football. Couple of them are in the NFL, and then he's third. He's the highest paid in college football. He comes from Ohio State, having just won a national title. How screwy is all this now that you're the defensive coordinator of a team that wins the national title? Apparently, you know, if you read kind of the underlying tension there between Ryan Day and Jim Knowles and Larry Johnson, the defensive line coach. Not everybody on the same page there. But, man, oh, man, Penn State's on a pretty good streak here this offseason, getting Drew Aller back, Nick Singleton, Catron Allen. You hire the best defensive coordinator in the country. You get him from Ohio State. You show that you're ready to pay with the big boys. And I didn't say play. I said pay. You're ready to pay with the big boys. Ron wants to talk about this. What's going on, Ron? How you doing?
Good, sir. How are you doing today?
All right, pal. What's going on? What's on your mind?
I got real quick. I got the Eagles winning the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I think I seen that news yesterday, and I went, wow, this ought to make us a contender for the national championship. What do you think?
Well, it's amazing. They are a contender for the national championship. Are they going to win one? I mean, look, a lot of things got to go your way to win a national. You have to have everybody healthy. Their receiver situation has got to be improved. But their committed. This is the most committed I've ever seen Penn State. Now, I can go on a long diatribe here, but basically what we thought Penn State was 25 years ago, like great facilities and all this stuff, as good of facilities as anybody in the country, it turned out not to be true. It turned out that Penn State was skimping on a lot of things for a long time, and it took somebody new to come in, like Bill O'Brien, to point out, hey, we got some issues here that have got to get addressed. Then James Franklin comes in. And for 10 years, James Franklin has talked about, we have to have the full commitment of everybody 365 days a year. And he's talking money and resources. So Penn State was further behind than anybody really could have thought 15, 18 years ago. And so now, for the first time that I can really remember, again, since the turn of the century, Penn State's putting its money where its mouth is and appears to be fully willing to provide this head coach any resource that he possibly wants.
Yes. Now, one more thing, and I'll let you go. Last fall, you gave James Franklin, what, a C? A C for being a coach? What's your ranking for him now, A, B, C, or D?
When did I give James Franklin a C as a coach? That's never, ever been the case. Never. Not ever have I given James Franklin
a C. What did you give him?
I've always probably put James in that B-plus to A-minus category. He wins a lot of games. He wins tons of games. Yeah. He loses the big games. But he always wins lots of games. At the very minimum, James Franklin is a B-plus kind of guy. And if you take a look at the incredible transformation from 2016, you know, you can make a case A-minus. I would go between B-plus and A-minus. Maybe for one game I gave him a C, and for some games I've given him an F. I think he's been absolutely horrid in some games. But
yeah.
I've never, ever... you're misremembering. Since 2016, when it appeared he was going to be fired after the 49-10 loss to Michigan, since they beat Ohio, I have never given him a C as an overall head coach. Okay. That's just incorrect.
All right. Thanks, sir. Have a good day.
All right, very good. Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, people. There's lots of different media. There's lots of things that people read. You might read something that I hear something that I say or read something I say at one point after a game. Sure, there are lots of games I would give James Franklin a C or worse. But I'm not some stubborn ass that's just going to have a beef with James Franklin. James Franklin has done a fantastic job at Penn State. All right. Do I have to say this like every day for some of you people that think I hate Penn State to come around and understand how good of a job James Franklin has done? Seriously. Now, can I still criticize him for blowing games against Ohio State? Abso-freaking-lutely. Abso-freaking-lutely. Did they beat anybody of gigantic significance this year? No, they absolutely did not. Well, they got to the national semifinal. They beat SMU and Boise State to get there. I've said repeatedly, that's like beating a really good Illinois team. All right? So, but if you're out there thinking I'm giving James Franklin a C, absolutely not. All right, John in Altoona. What's going on, John?
Hey, it's good to hear you again. A couple things. My buddy Scotty Franca and I were talking last night during the Kansas City game and making the mock phone calls that the NFL is calling down to the ref to say, you need to turn that call because that's not meeting our needs to have Kansas City in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
Now, I'm going to say, I didn't get to see all the Eagles game and not all, but I do know there was a lot of, like, I don't want to say chippy, but calls that weren't made and or personal fouls that weren't called. And one of the things I always get frustrated with when, you know, somebody pushes somebody, then somebody retaliates, and the person who retaliates is the one that gets the flag.
Yeah, sure.
I just wish the NFL would put into a place, you have review. If you have a fight or something like that, you go to the first person, and they need to be dinged so that it goes both ways, but that first person gets dinged because it just seems like they got away with it. I think the Eagles are going to be in for a little bit of awakening. I'm sorry to say it. I think the refs will call it much tighter in the Super Bowl, and they're going to get dinged on that because Kansas City is supposed to win.
So are you going Chiefs to win?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they're deemed, they're supposed to win.
Yeah, right, yeah.
The NFL won. That's
why. Yeah, it is fascinating. Like, as you're saying that, I'm thinking, like, you know, you're 14, 15, 16 years old. You're at school. Some punk pushes you or shoves you at lunch, says something awful to you and starts something with you. You retaliate, and then you're the one that gets in trouble. You know what I'm saying, John? That's
well, didn't they yank the guy's helmet off and didn't get a penalty? Am I wrong on that?
I don't remember that specific play, but that's what I'm saying. Just in life, you know, in life, what the hell are you supposed to seriously, like, dude, do you have sons, John?
What's that? Say again?
Do you have any sons, any boys?
Oh, I got my kids are in their he'll be 30 and she'll be 28. So they all played sports and were in band and that kind of stuff. So
and
yeah.
If your kid was
absolutely.
If your kid was 15 or 16 years old. Now look, I'm not going to say just the politically correct crap here, okay? We're going to get down to brass tacks here of reputation, of retaliation, of the way you're viewed at school. If you got a 15-year-old son and he's at school and some jackass knucklehead comes and drills him with a cheap shot, what do you want your son to do? A, just take it and go tell a teacher. B, just stand there and do nothing. C, whip that kid's ass. Which one of those options do you want for your 15, 16-year-old kid? Be honest with me. I want you to – no, answer the question. I want you to answer the question.
Yep. I am. Yep. The answer is you're supposed to recede two steps, and then if he comes at you, you kick his ass.
That's exactly right.
If you receded two steps, then you are technically legit. That you can do it.
But what happens in life is you want your 16-year-old kid to get punked in front of 50 other boys who are going to make fun of him for 50 years after that? Or do you want your kid to –
The school is going to have it where you can't do what you want to
that's
do.
That's exactly right, because if you
get tossed out.
If you retaliate – but I'll be honest with you. Again, if you retaliate – and you whip that kid's ass, and you get suspended. If my boy comes home and he's just done that, I'm pretty proud of him.
I'm going to say that's going to follow you if you're in high school. I'll be very careful on that.
But what I'm saying is if you do nothing and you're just the wuss who took it, how much is that going to follow you in life?
I don't disagree on that. It's not that I want him to lose face. It is you are to defend yourself. But the problem is in society, in that high school, if you don't take back one or two steps, you're in trouble too. And it's like, how is that possible?
So let's
about the NFL. How is that possible? You tear somebody's helmet off and there's no call.
And let's relate that to sports. You know, in general, because you made a great point a couple minutes ago. You said the person who retaliates is often the one who gets in trouble. But they have every game, every play on replay. They should be able to go back and look and see who actually started it. And they can whether they get a flag at that point or not, they'll generally get a fine or something after the fact.
Well, my point is the Super Bowl. Go ahead and find them afterwards. But I'm just saying, in the championship game like that yesterday, you can't go back and do 30 seconds and go, no, you got the call wrong. Do it here, and fix it right there. Because then it makes everybody have to play honestly from that moment on.
That's a great discussion, buddy. Appreciate it, man. Good stuff. I really like that talk because, again, there are things in life that you say that you're supposed to do. But if you just do what the people in charge want you to do, that can have a very negative impact on you for a long, long time if you don't stand up for yourself. Caller number two is our resident Ohio State fan. So what happened with Jim Knowles at Ohio State?
Well, let me run through this real quick. I'm watching the celebration at the stadium yesterday at noon, and about halfway through, I'm looking at my phone, and I think my brother texted me and said, Jim Knowles to Penn State. And I thought it was a joke, but he apparently was not at the celebration. The word I have is pretty much what you heard, starting with the CFP games. They kind of encroached on Knowles's authority a little bit, Larry Johnson and Day, and I guess the assistant defensive coordinator, and wanted to be more aggressive, and they especially pushed the buttons on the Oregon game, where we didn't get any sacks the first time and got like nine. So I think Knowles was angry. I I heard Day met with him and offered him the same amount or more, but I think the bridge was burned and probably the damage was done. So I'm glad he's gone. I think he went to Penn State because he's mad at Ohio State.
It's an interesting concept because, okay, so let's tackle this. You got a couple minutes?
Yeah.
Here's what's interesting. Here's what I basically want to get down to. Did Ohio State want him back? So if what you're telling me is, and this is kind of what is in the rumor mill for the last couple of days, is that you got a lot of egos over there. Ryan Day's ego, Jim Knowles' ego, Larry Johnson's ego, and you got a lot of things going on there. And if what you're saying is true about, you know, the who's calling plays, who's doing the game plan for blah, 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 that would almost lead me to believe to a degree that they wouldn't want him back. But if you're saying they offered about as much money, that would mean that they would want him back and that they feel like they could have everybody work together. So that's what's fascinating. Did they really want him back? Or, you know, did Ryan Day and Larry Johnson and the people in the organization feel like, hey, this guy's just overrated. We can find somebody just as good. I mean, that's where it's fascinating to me.
I'd say it's a little bit of everything you said, and I think there was probably a come-to-Jesus meeting between Day and him with both the offer, but probably some serious discussion about how things were going to go next year. I'm hearing that the assistant DC who came with him from Duke and apparently has been with him a while is really sharp. He's only like 36, but is considered very sharp. And it might be, we'd love to keep you if we can do this and this, but if you go, you go. And I have to believe Knowles would have gone to Oklahoma if he wasn't mad at Ohio State. I'm sure they would. That's where his girlfriend is. So I think he was kind of kicking back at them, not saying you can do whatever you want. I think that's what happened.
Is his girlfriend an administrator, a coach somewhere? What?
She lives in Oklahoma, I think near Oklahoma University. That was one of the places. That's apparently a serious relationship. All the word was he was going to leave probably anyway because of her, because they have this long-distance relationship. So it wouldn't have been a surprise if he'd left. It was a surprise he went to one of our arch rivals.
Well, here's what's going to happen at Penn State. He is going to get the keys to the Ferrari. Okay, I don't see James Franklin interfering. Defense is not James Franklin's thing at all. I think James still interferes too much offensively. But, you know, sometimes it works out, like the Minnesota game this year. But defensively, he's basically let his guy, Brent Pry, he let Brent Pry run the show. He let Manny Diaz run the show. He let Tom Allen run the show. I think that for whatever problems Jim Knowles might have had at Ohio State, feeling like people are stepping on his toes, how much of this do you think might have been that he probably knows the way James operates and he's going to get to come here and do whatever he wants without somebody looking over his shoulder all the time?
Oh, yeah. I think Franklin and the university probably thinks this is an incredible coup to get him. A, he's got the playbook, a very good defensive playbook, but he also knows the offense.
Yeah, he knows. Absolutely. He knows how to beat Ohio State.
He's got all the inside information. Now, I just got another text just before your show that the Oregon DC is apparently the front runner. I think Ohio State will land on its feet, but
Oregon DC that Penn State obliterated for 37 points. This could not have gone any better for Penn State. You get the better defensive coordinator. Ohio State gets stuck with a dude from Oregon who gave up 41 to Ohio State, gave up 37 to Penn. I don't even know the guy's name. Why is he a hot commodity?
Well, I haven't researched it yet, but he wasn't on the list yesterday that I read. It was the Iowa coach, DC.
Phil Parker.
I didn't even see this guy's name, so I don't know. I agree with you that that's that's a little scary. It was like a sieve against Ohio State. It gets interesting.
It is fascinating. Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. For all intents and purposes, it looks like a tremendous hire by Penn State, a tremendous hire, and no reason necessarily to believe otherwise. But what's interesting is how it came about. Did Ohio State want him back? Does Ohio State maybe feel like they'll be just fine without him? Those are the interesting things that I'd love to be on a fly on the wall and be able to figure out what they're thinking in Columbus.
Co-owner of Junior Motorsports is, of course, Kelly Earnhardt, and here's her thoughts on going Cup Series racing at the Daytona 500 with her race team.
Yeah, I can't really sum it up any better than Dale did. You know, we talked about the opportunity. We've been talking about the opportunity to be in the Cup Series, and obviously we're a family of racers. This is our life. This is our passion. And so to be able to have a Cup entry at the Daytona 500, a place that's really special to us, a place where the Earnhardts have had a lot of history and a lot of success, both my dad and Dale, it's just really kind of full circle and a situation. This is the perfect situation, the right moment, as Chris said. So we're just pretty thankful and glad to be here. Not only just having your brand on the car, but we want to make sure it's a great marketing opportunity for the brand to grow, for the fan base to get acquainted with the Traveler brand. And so, as Dale alluded to, Justin, being with our organization so long, he just goes above and beyond anything that's asked or not asked. And so, he's always there for his partners. He's there for our team partners. And so we know that Justin will do a great job, not only around the 500, when we, get the opportunity to get out there and attempt to qualify, but really all year long for this partnership and what it means to the Traveler brand. So we're just excited that Justin was our guy and that he said yes that day that we brought him into the principal's office.
You're on the final lap.
Drivers who switch and save with Progressive could save hundreds. With that kind of money, you could go big time and switch to the expensive shampoo with amino acids. Sure, you don't know what those are or why you need them, but it sounds very impressive. And if you switch and save hundreds, you can massage it into your scalp every day. Now, if only you can get people to lean toward your head to smell those aminos. Switch to Progressive and you could save big time. For shampoo? Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, not available in all states. Potential savings will vary.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting great candidates? Well, they're not hard to find when you go to ZipRecruiter. Every day, ZipRecruiter helps people who are actively looking for jobs like yours, so it's easy to find the right person fast. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Hank FM.
All right, today's show brought to you, as it is every day, by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Cigars, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Stop on by there for pipes, cigars, tobacco blends, whatever you're looking for your hunting trip, fishing trip. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. Always open online at boswellpipes.com. Let's head out east. Clark, sir, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Yeah,
Yeah, I thought you were going to talk about Penn State hockey. They took out Ohio State twice over the weekend.
Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I see Knowles is a St. Joe's prep guy.
Yeah, and that's big because Penn State is not necessarily recruited well there, so that could conceivably help.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the prep is very academically oriented. That's why he probably was a graduate of a Cornell academically and everything. But that goes back to, what, the 80s or something? I forget when he graduated up there. Yeah, who knows what it's going to mean, you know, for Penn State. It's all about the guys you put out on the field and how they can perform. So,
and well, the one thing I will say, I'll repeat what I mentioned earlier, he's going to get the keys to the car here. This is not something, from what we gather at Ohio State, you know, you got a $20 million roster that comes with pressure there. Ryan Day's under a lot of pressure. Ryan Day, people wanted him fired a month and a half ago. Well, how'd that turn out? So Ryan Day was probably exerting a lot of pressure on Jim Knowles, you know, for this, that, or whatever. When he comes to Penn State, I mean, James Franklin, I feel very confident, is going to say, hey, you run the defense, I'll stay out of it. We're giving you a bunch of good players, but you take control here.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. As far as the Chiefs game, Bills yesterday, yes, that pass came out funky. On that one that you said the receiver dropped?
On the fourth down, yeah.
Yes, it came out funky.
Yeah.
It was kind of flat. And I'm sure that had something to do with the receiver.
Sure. There's no. I'm not saying it was an easy catch. I'm just saying if you watch the zoomed-in replay, the dude dove. It hit both of his arms. The ball hit both of his arms.
Yes.
And look, you got to make plays. People got to make plays.
Yeah, if you make the plays, yes, you're going to win the game. And as far as the Super Bowl goes, both of the Eagles' Super Bowls, the last two, were in the 30s. They were high-scoring,
yep,
up-and-down games.
Mm-hmm.
They were very entertaining.
Does this one get that way?
And I think this may be the same, but the scary part is the Eagles have not done a turnover, you know, in the playoffs so far. And if Washington doesn't turn the ball over yesterday, you know, you got a completely, you know, different game the way it's going to play itself out.
Yeah, but the Eagles were they were moving the ball at will. I mean, the Commanders kept up for a little while, but the Eagles put a lot of pressure on you with their offense.
And you also, in sports nowadays, and you know it in the passing game, you make referees make calls.
Yes.
On the passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if they let it go one time, they're probably not going to let it go the next time. You know, the Eagles had a play in the end zone yesterday, you know, that they called pass interference on. There was one that was debatable right before it, but then they got him on the next play.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that the game is a good game, hoping we do see, you know, good number of points. But I think it might be the Eagles' turn to turn it around against it. The other interesting thing is, had Buffalo won, I think the sentiment would have been with Buffalo.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Everybody wants Buffalo to win one, but now, absolutely, it's going to be for the Eagles.
I would think so.
I think the whole country wants the Eagles to win.
Well, hopefully, except the Taylor Swifties.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, man. 946-0435. You want to join us? We'll go back to the phone lines here. Jim in Altoona. What's up, Jim? How you doing, pal?
Oh, same as always. I hate them Chiefs.
You hate the Chiefs?
Oh, so bad. I just don't understand how they can, the last 3 or 4 years, how can they be under the salary cap and they seem to go out and get these players?
Well, I mean, look, they've got the best quarterback in football. And, you know, maybe he didn't have a great year this year, but you trust that guy. You got great coaches. They've been able to keep a lot of their core together, even though with the salary. That's really the key. You know, you keep enough core players together. Not that all of them have been there through that whole run, but it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's true. And my first wife is from Philly. And, well, I don't really like Philly, I hate Kansas City about as bad as I hate Baltimore and the rest of the teams in that division.
So let's get into this here. Since your current wife, is she a Pittsburgh fan?
No, my current wife now is a Steelers fan.
That's what I'm saying, a Pittsburgh fan.
Yeah.
The first
back when I guess she was little, her uncles and father and everything, I guess, was Dallas fans.
Oh, okay.
So she decided to be a Steelers fan to go against them.
But the first wife was a Philly fan.
Yes, the first wife was a Philly fan.
Is that why she's an ex-wife?
No, she died in a car accident.
Well, I'm a gigantic jerk. I'm sorry about that.
That's 21 years ago.
Well, okay. Well, I sincerely apologize about that. I tried to make a joke, and that really backfired badly. And I'm very, very sorry. Did you guys get along from a sports standpoint? Like, if you're rooting for the Steelers and she's rooting for the Eagles, could you still get along?
Oh yeah, she didn't. She was a fan, but she wasn't into it like I was into it. She just went along for the ride, I guess.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, I apologize. You could have bitten my head off there because that was a very poor choice of words for me. So I apologize, but I appreciate the way you handled it. You handled it better than me.
And another thing, if you remember back when the war was going on, there wasn't enough players to form a team. They put the Eagles together.
The Steagles.
Yes. Now, my second wife knows all about that. I mean, she's a diehard fan. She can sit down and shoot the shit with the best of them.
She'll sit there. She'll sit there and watch all the games and everything.
Oh yeah. She gets mad at me when I start getting down, and it's not even the first quarter ain't over with yet. And I'm already bitching about it.
Good
but
stuff.
The refs, too, the refs. I mean, can't the rest of the league, can't they start finding these refs for these bad calls?
Well, they would have to – there would have to be a lot of admission by the NFL that they are bad calls, and that would just lead further fuel. Look, again, I think the NFL wants these calls made, Jim.
That's another thing.
Yeah, very good. Thanks, pal. Appreciate the call. We're going to take one more before the break here. Welcome to the show. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Corey, it's Chuck from Unionville.
What's up, Chuck? I got 2 minutes. Fire away, man.
I saw a stat that said that the Chiefs will have gone to the last six Super Bowls. Is that correct?
The Chiefs have gone to the last six Super Bowls?
Yeah. Well, if they have, that puts them in the 4-6 realm of the Steelers of the 70s. So they got to lose this one, brother.
So you're saying they've gone to six in a row? Let's see, Super Bowl.
Yeah, take a look. But they've been to either that or they've gone to championship games in the last 6 years. But either way, they've won three Super Bowls so far. And they could. That's going to put them in 4-6 realm of the Steelers.
All right, so, I'm looking up here, championship games. Let's see, because I don't think it's six. I'm pretty sure that's not right. So where are these things here? Oh, Chiefs, Eagles. Let's see, last year was Chiefs, Niners, Chiefs, Eagles, Rams, and Bengals. I knew there was one that at least one there wasn't in. So it was 2021 season. It was Rams and Bengals. Year before, Chiefs, Bucks. Year before, Chiefs, Niners. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five out of six. So it's 5 out of 6.
Well, and this will be the sixth.
Yeah.
So if they win this year, it's 4 out of. They'll have 4-6 like the Steelers of the 70s. So
yeah.
You know me, brother, rooting against them hard, hoping Saquon gets a championship.
Okay, so just real quick, because, again, I know everybody gets territorial with these types of things.
Brother.
Greater accomplishment, what the Steelers did in the 70s, or if the Chiefs win this, what the Chiefs have done right now?
I almost would say what the Chiefs would have done now, because they could keep it together in free agency.
Correct,
it wasn't as much of an issue as it was back then.
Yeah, that's the only correct answer. The Steelers kept their whole nucleus together. What the Chiefs are doing now in free agency and this era, especially the competition, the parity era, this is crazy.
They did, but I'm going to say they're getting some calls that benefit them. And can you say they shift the game? I don't think so. but they get calls that benefit them.
All right, good stuff, buddy. Appreciate it. We'll wrap things up after this.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in three counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Hey, I got you something.
What's this?
Just a little Galentine's gift from JTV.
Do you mean Jewelry Television? I love their jewelry. They have the
new customers get $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
And their artisan collections? Gorgeous.
Are you going to open your gift?
Oh, yeah. It's the pearl bracelet.
New customers receive $25 off their first purchase of $75 or more. Visit jtv.com/romance.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees. Hank FM.
Jam-packed day today. Recapping the games yesterday and the Penn State news. Art Rooney II met with the media today. We'll get into this a lot more tomorrow. He says he would like for the Steelers to keep either Justin Fields or Russell Wilson. Acknowledges that keeping both of them would be difficult. There's no way they can keep both of them. But he says, quote, I wouldn't close the door, but I'd say it's probably unlikely about keeping both. Says, I think both of them see themselves as starters, and I don't know that they want to share the same job again next year. So, some comments from Art Rooney II today. Again, we'll get into a lot more of those tomorrow. And he mentions about Mike Tomlin. Look at how many games Mike has won in this league. You don't win that many games if you're not a good coach. And I know he's frustrated like we all are in terms of not being able to take that next step. But we still feel good about him being the leader. All right. Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring Altoona.